Now, we're doing the Ikorum of the Rambam.
All right. That's in the Pirush Mishnayos, where the Rambam explains the 13 Ikrei Dasenu V'Yisei Desera. Okay. Now, we were going through the Yisodos. All right. The Yisod HaRishon. What's the Yisod HaRishon? Oh, it's like this. The Rambam says that there is a cause, a totally perfected existence, which is the cause of everything that exists. And if one should think that the similar to the Rambam beginning of Yad, and if one should think that his existence is not, does not exist, then nothing else could exist, he says. And however, conversely, even if we should think that all the existences should be totally destroyed, non-existence, his existence would not be affected. So we asked, why does the Rambam have to say in the first Yisod that there's three things that there's a perfected existence, and also if he wouldn't exist, nothing would exist. If everything else doesn't exist, however, he nevertheless exists. Doesn't affect his existence. He's not dependent on their existence. They depend on his existence. He's not dependent on their existence. We explained in the tape on the Shir on Noach, we explained precisely, more precisely what this means. Why everything is dependent on his existence. Why it has to be that way, that everything is dependent on his existence. Okay. The question that we asked was, why does the Rambam have to deal with the rest of the other existences? The other existences are dependent on him, and he's not dependent on them. Why doesn't he just say the first Yisod is that there is a perfected existence? How the universe relates to that perfected existence is a separate question. So we answered it with another Rambam. There's a Rambam in the Yad HaChazakah, in the beginning of the Yad. A Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Yisod HaTorah Hei says, HaMotzi Azehu Lekei Ho'elam Adoin Kol Haaretz. Says, who am manig hagalgal b'koyach shein lekeitz tachlis koyach shein lehefsek shagalgal sevev tamid v'yef shishayisev b'loy misa'ein sevev b'li misavev. Famous proof. Okay. Now, the only and the Rambam says, yes, the Rambam says, alright, so that's an Aristotelian proof. However, we know from Newton that this proof isn't so, because it's not true, because yesh sevev b'li misavev, because of the law of inertia. Newton demonstrated there's a law of inertia, and there's no there's no need to constant force for the planets to keep on moving.
Yes.
The Rambam doesn't say that God set them spinning. The Rambam says that he constantly has to supply a force for them to keep on going. Okay. Yeah. So the proof is an Aristotelian proof, but Newtonian physics demonstrates that this is not so. Okay. Of course, it's not only a question of theoretical physics here. I mean, they send up a satellite, it'll keep on revolving around. I mean, it'll keep on revolving around. God doesn't have to revolve it. I mean, it's a proven fact. It's not a question for academics here. What? All right, so it's a question, so you can't blame the Rambam for not knowing Newtonian physics. So he went according to the knowledge of his day. That wouldn't be a problem. But the Rambam Halacha Vav says, "The Yediyas Davar Zem Mitzvah Sasei, Shenema Anochi Er Hashem Alekecha," which was now he placed Halacha Hey before Vav. So it would appear that Halacha Hey, which is the proof, the Aristotelian proof, is a part of Yediyas Davar Zeh. I mean, that can't be. It's impossible. So we said like this. We said that it's not enough. The answer both kashas. It's not enough that a person just says that there's a perfected being. A person must see the perfected being from the universe. That's what the Rambam establishes. Now, the thing is like this, that the premise is that the universe, when you examine the universe, there has to be a gap. There has to be a gap, because the universe cannot exist by itself. There has to be a gap there, which can only be filled by the perfected existence of God. There has to be a logical gap. You can never explain the universe without God. It's impossible to explain the universe rationally without God. Now, Yediyas Davar Zeh means like this, that a person can only know according to his knowledge. In every generation, there are frontiers of knowledge. But at every frontier, the gap always has to appear. Because no matter how far advanced the frontier of knowledge is, there's always going to be a gap. The mitzvah is for each generation to go to the frontiers of knowledge and to discern that gap. That's what the mitzvah is. You see? What? In the Rambam's day, it was the Aristotelian. But nowadays, nowadays you have we're past the Newtonian. Now it's Einsteinian physics. Now you have to see it from the Einsteinian physics. You have to be able to see the gap. But there is a gap there. That gap can only be explained by God. A mitzvah is only on each door according to their knowledge. That's what the mitzvah is. In other words, a mythical, just a mythical acceptance. He's not Mekayim the Yesaid. Yesaid has to be tied to the universe. It has to be a part of it. It has to have a dimension of reality. The dimension of reality must stem from the knowledge of the universe. If it doesn't have a dimension of reality, it lacks the quality of the Yesaid. That's the point. There has to be a relationship between the universe and God. It doesn't mean you have to have an absolute proof of God. It means that you must be able to, in order for the Yesod to have, the Yesod has to have a quality of reality. The quality of reality can only be achieved through the knowledge of the universe. It's not halacha to prove. The halacha is how the idea of God relates to his mind. It has to relate to his mind in a realistic sense. Realistic sense means only through the knowledge of the universe. That's knowledge of reality. You see? It has to be a part of his corpus of knowledge of reality. It can't just be an idle acceptance of some mystical type of existence. Today, just to throw out an example, today the same idea exists in terms of the infinite expansion of the universe. Because the galaxies are moving apart at tremendous rates. And to infinite expansion, and if you trace them back, it had to have one source, you see. So the proof today would have to be revised. Instead of the motion of planets, it would be in terms of the universe, in terms of the expansion, the infinite expansion of the universe. Okay. The particular, whether you say infinite expansion or whether you say the revolution of planets, it doesn't really matter. It means that the idea of God's existence is one which is expressed in terms of reality. In terms of reality. A reality in terms of the universe. Now, the second Yesod is Yichud Hashem. Hashem is one. The third Yesod is that he's not physical. And the fourth Yesod is that there's nothing else, that there's nothing else that has eternal existence besides him. So therefore, the universe didn't exist alongside of him. But he existed prior to the universe. Okay. Explains in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, Yesod HaTorah. He says, "Elokai ze echaru ve'ena shnayim, v'lo yasar shnayim ela echad, she'en ki yichudu echad ben echad mitzrayim ba'olam." Now he says, "Yichud she'en yichud." Okay, fine. He says, "Ilu hayu alo yehis harbe hayu gufin ugviyos, mipnei she'en animnim hashovim b'mitziusa nefradim zemizeh ela b'ma'eroin she'yaru." The gufais vagvias. Rams like this. That another, the only way to have many of the same thing is if they're physical entities. So then the reason why they're many is because they occupy different spaces. But if they are abstract, they're non-physical, then there can only be one. That's what the Rambam says. Okay. Let's mention a little bit of metaphysics here, parenthetically, that what we're saying, what the Rambam is saying, is that God is a necessary existence. Existence is necessary, and nothing else is necessary existence. Now, two necessary existences. Because if there were two necessary existences, then they would have to be physical. They'd have to be physical. Okay. All right. But anyway, let's get back to our point. So the point is this. The question that we raise is like this, that the Achdus Hashem, once you say God is one, of necessity you know that he's non-physical. Because the only reason why he is one is because he's non-physical. If that's the case, so why does the Rambam break down 2 and 3 into two separate Yesodos? One is contingent upon the other. Alright?
Was there another one also?
Also, actually the first one and the third one are also a contradiction, because he says that in the first one says God is perfect. Now in the Rambam, Halacha Zion says that if God had a body, he would have
there would be a limit to his energy. And therefore the Rambam says he's not a goof, he's not physical. The physical is limited, the Rambam says. Okay. Now therefore, if you're going to say he's physical, so you can't say he's perfect. So the first yesod and the third yesod are contradictory. If you maintain the first yesod, it's a contradiction to deny the third yesod.
Yeah.
Right.
So
themselves are not contradictory, of course.
Maintain
the first, you have to maintain the third. Once you maintain the second, you have to maintain the third. The third seems a bit unnecessary. You maintain the third, then according to the Rambam, you have already the second. Also.
Right. Okay. The whole
first
four of them look like that.
First, the fourth one is a little different. All right.
What's the fourth one?
The fourth one is that he's Kadmai. God is Kadmai.
Sure.
Okay. Now, all right. So we say it's like this. All right. So we answered like this. If you take a look at the Ikarim, you see the Rambam in every Ikar mentions Pesukim. He mentions Pesukim in every Ikar. This means that the knowledge that comes to a person from about the Ikarim is knowledge from Sinai. Knowledge from his acceptance of Sinai. You see. Because for everyone, he quotes Pasuk. All right. If it is this, if it is, there's a difference. If it's what we're saying is like this, that apparently you have to know each fact from Sinai. Each one of these studies you have to know from Sinai, not through logic, so not through reasoning. But each one of these facts must be known specifically through Pesukim. Since it's not through logic, so then you can't ask a question why the first depends on the third or the second depends on the third. Because the fact has to be known to you, the fact has to be known exclusively through Pesukim. You see, if it was through reasoning, then of course, once you have one, you have the others. But since it's through Pesukim, so then it's not, so then if it's through Pesukim, so it's just the isolated facts, that there is a perfected being. Now you ask me, of course, it can't be physical, you can make a deduction. And since it's perfected, it can't be physical. Can't be physical, no, it's not physical also. That's a deduction. We're not, then you would know, if you would make that deduction, so you'd know principle three from principle one. You see? But the Rambam quotes a pasuk for everyone, because the Rambam wants to show you that each one must be known, each concept must be known specifically through Pesukim, and no other means. All right? Why this is so, we'll explain in a while. But meantime, the fact that this is so, that it's a different kind of knowledge here, it's not a knowledge based on rationality, the fact that it's not a knowledge based on rationality, but based on Pesukim, is why there is no redundancy in the four principles. Okay. The first one, I mean, you could argue like this. You say, if I have the first one, I don't necessarily have the second. You say that he's perfected in terms of the fact that he's necessary existence. But does this mean that he has no parts? Okay, so that requires a further elucidation. Of course, the perfection in the first one is perfection insofar as he is necessary existence. That's the perfection. Then we have to have other proofs that a necessary existence can't have parts. All right, but the second and the third are impossible to split apart, because the fact that he's one is based upon the fact that he's non-physical. That the Rambam says openly in Hilchos Seder Torah Halacha Zayin, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. The second and the third are definitely superfluous. So you must say, that's what the answer is, that the knowledge that a person from which a person derives these yesodos is from Pesukim, strictly from Masorah of the Pesukim. That's the yesodos. Why this we'll see in a while. Okay. Once he's physically, you really can't say he's one. You're right. That's clear. The Rambam's over here. Yeah, he says, Eli Yichachin Yichadua. Ilu hayo alayas harbe hayo gufin gvias. Neshein ha nimnin ha shoven bimitsiusan. Nifrodin zemize elabam iron she yero begufos vagvias. Shayero. Shayero will do this. That's clear. That's the whole reason there's oneness. That's right. Okay. Interesting thing. That was the difference between mitzvahs and ikarim. Okay? That was the next step. All right. Next question. Now we have the next question. New question. Question is, you have ikarim, right? And the ikar is, first ikar is that God is one, second ikar is that... And the first ikar is that God exists, second ikar is God is one, third ikar is that God is not physical.
Yes, that's what we thought. We did mitzvahs and ikarim first, and then we did Sinai?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hmm. So you have ikarim and you have mitzvahs. But the question that we asked is that there's a redundancy here. For instance, Yisod HaRishon is the acceptance of a God who is a necessary existence from which the universe proceeds, right? And the mitzvah, the first mitzvah that the Rambam has is Sheyesh Leida Sheyesh HaMalakah. First mitzvah, Yisod says, Anochach Leida Sheyesh HaMalakah Matzi Rishon Hu Mamtzi Kolin. It's the same thing as the Yisod. So what do you have to have a mitzvah for if it's Yisod? All right? The Ramban is the question. Ramban is the more pertinent question. He says, Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvahs, he says, if something is a yisod, so then it can't be a mitzvah. We'll soon see the difference between yisod and mitzvahs. But this is the question we're taking. The question is, hey, you have a repetition here. If it's a yisod already, what do you need a mitzvah for? And if it's a mitzvah, so what do you have to have a yisod for? Take, for instance, Yichud Hashem. That's the second yisod, right? It's also the third mitzvah, Liyachado. Ram says, Yediyas Davazeh Mitzvah Say, Shinema, in Allah Chazayin, all Allah Chazayin. He says, Shinema, Hashem Alkeinu Hashem Achod. So, if that's a Mitzvah Say, if it's a Yisod already, then what do you have to have the Mitzvah for? And if it's a Mitzvah, so what do you need Yisod for? It's a Mitzvah. Okay?
Understand?
We'll get to Ramban's question in a minute. 1 second. The Yisod is a Mitzvah, it seems. Only the first and the second. The fact that God isn't physical is not a mitzvah. Leida she'en aguf, no mitzvah. Leida she'u kadmain is no mitzvah. That's only yisod. Now, where do we differentiate? What do we put in the yisod? What do we put in the mitzvahs? I mean, there has to be some formula here. You can't have a lot of duplication. That doesn't bother the duplication. We'll get to the Ramban's kasha. So, what we have to get to is the differentiation between a yisod and a mitzvah. All right. We asked the question, I guess. We said, how could it be a mitzvah? How could you have a mitzvah? Right. What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah, how could you have a mitzvah to know something?
To know something.
That was the question. That was nice.
Right.
Now we asked another question. Next question was, let's take the mitzvahs. The mitzvah says that you should know that there is a God and that he is one. Question is, how could you have a mitzvah to know something? If you know it, because knowing means by virtue of knowledge. Now, if you know it and you have this knowledge, so then you have it. There's no mitzvah, nothing to do. If you don't have the knowledge, we can't tell you have the knowledge when you don't have it. I mean, it's an impossibility. You could say accept it, but you can't say know it. How can you say know it? I don't know it. That's why the Rambam makes a point in one of the Igreis. He says there's no such thing as a psak with regard to philosophy. You have machlokes tanoim and how Tchias HaMesim takes place, or any other machlekes that has nothing to do with halacha, says you can't have a psak over there. Because what's the psak going to tell you? We paskin like this mandama. Paskin, what do you mean paskin? In other words, you have to tell a guy, you have to know this. You have to believe this. But your belief has to be based upon knowledge. You don't have that knowledge. How could you tell a guy to do it? It's an impossibility. That's what Ram says, no psak. Oh, there is no psak with regard to any type of... any type of machlekes tanoim that has to do with philosophy. It's impossible. I could tell a guy we paskin this way, we ain't paskin this way. What's there to paskin about? Maisa, you could paskin, do this action. You see, even in halacha, we could paskin like the Rabbanon against Reb Meir. Yeah, that's fine, but you can't tell a guy has to believe that the Rabbanon is right or Reb Meir is wrong. The guy has a right to accept Reb Meir. If he thinks Reb Meir is right, he has a right to accept Reb Meir is right. See? But in halacha, that's Sassaman Adavish Gidul Chol Yaman Asmal. Yom HaNismal is halacha and maisa mitzvah. They can't have halacha insofar as the ideas themselves, which idea is correct. I mean, there's no psak on such a thing. You can't tell a guy, you should accept this as right. I mean, how is it possible? Okay? This. we said that these mitzvahs, the mitzvah that the first mitzvah, that Hashem is that God exists. You see, the mitzvah is the mice. There's two things. There's a maisa mitzvah and there's a kima mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah is the study of the knowledge. That's the maisa mitzvah. That's the act. But the kima mitzvah is only when he has that knowledge. See, the Rambam couldn't formulate it. The Rambam could not formulate it in terms of maisa alone. Because in terms of maisa alone, that's not a mitzvah. A guy, let's say a guy struggles all his life to try to understand the Achdus Hashem. It's no good. Because he never got it. I mean, it wasn't the kind of mitzvah. The kima mitzvah takes place through the knowledge, but the maisa mitzvah is the knowledge itself, studying itself. Yeah. So therefore, the question is, that's what mitzvahs are. Now the question is, so what are ikarim? Now, the first mitzvah is to study. So there's a maisa mitzvah, and the kima takes place. The kima mitzvah is when he has the knowledge. That's the Kima Mitzvah. Okay. So there's a Maisa Mitzvah, there's a Kima Mitzvah. That's how it works with mitzvahs. Now the question is, what are Ikarim? So I say it like this. By Ikarim, there is no Tzivoy. There is no Tzivoy by Ikarim. See, a mitzvah is a Tzivoy. But by Ikarim, there's no Tzivoy. If there's a Tzivoy to accept this Ikar, so then that's a mitzvah already. It's a mitzvah. Besides, there can never be a tzivu to accept something. That we explained yesterday. Cannot be a tzivu. Either you accept it or you don't. I mean, there cannot be any tzivu on that. It's not possible to have a tzivu on that. Accept this. When you accept it, does my knowledge maintain that it's so, or does it not? If it maintains it so then fine. And if it doesn't, so then what could I do to change it? You see? All right. The only mitzvah you can have is a mitzvah to gain knowledge in a certain area. There you can have a mitzvah. Can't have a mitzvah to accept this as so. Alright, so what are Ikarim? So we said like this. The Rambam maintains that you cannot just start with mitzvahs. You see? Mitzvahs require a certain group to whom the mitzvah must address itself to. Or a certain individual to whom the mitzvah must address itself to. But you can't just... Mitzvahs aren't just given stam... To anybody. You must identify the person to whom the mitzvah is given. The person to whom the mitzvah is given must have a certain predisposition. You see? This predisposition is the Ikarim. The Ikarim is what unifies the group and makes them those that it can be makabel mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, in order to have mitzvahs, you have to have a person as a bar hochi for Kabbalah. Now, what makes the person a baruch for Kabbalah, and what unifies the group and makes the group roy to be makabel mitzvahs?
That's right.
Now, since this is pre-mitzvah, since ikarim, so basically you have two things. You only have two things. You have ikarim and you have mitzvahs. That's it. Ikarim is what renders the group a group. What makes these people come? What's the common denominator between the group? Certain principles that they have. Then these principles make up the essence of their substance as a group, you see? Then there are certain activities that they're involved in because for certain means. There's a means for certain objectives. You see, mitzvahs are a means for certain objectives. That's mitzvahs. But what makes the group a group is the basic fundamental principles which they have. Besides asiyas and mitzvahs. I mean, asiyas and mitzvahs are a means for reaching a certain perfection. But what makes the group essentially, what makes the group an entity is the ideas, the basic principles that they have, and that's the Ikarim. Okay, so there's two things in a group. There's the Ikarim, and in any group actually, if you take a group, you say, what makes this group a group? Certain ideas they share, right? Then they may devise certain activities which they feel are important activities to attain a certain goal. See, that's the second thing. But essentially what makes the group a group is the ideals which they share, the principles. That's what makes the group a group. That's what the Ikarim is. That's why the Rambam says at the end of the Ikarim, anybody who doesn't have these Ikarim, mitzvah l'abdei l'sainei, eini makal yisrael, mitzvah l'abdei l'sainei, the Rambam says. You see? It's not mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is a means. So, therefore, that's what the Rambam maintains. The Rambam's Ikarim is, the concept of Ikarim is what makes the people,
are certain principles which they maintain. Otherwise, you're going to tell me that there is no... that's the essence, actually. Actually, that's the essence of the group. The essence of the group is the principles that they maintain. The activities that they do as means is not the essence of the group. The activities that they involve themselves in cannot be the essence of a group, because activity is only a means. You're doing this activity as a means, but what? So what? I mean, that doesn't make the. Let's say, for instance, is the first mitzvah to gain knowledge of God. So a person is studying, a piece of geometry in order to gain knowledge of God. I mean, so what is that? That doesn't make him a. He's involved in the ma'aseh mitzvah, yes, but that's not the essence. That doesn't make him b'chol Yisrael. That doesn't make him. A part of the group. I mean, the group is the ideals that they have, that they share. So the essence of the group is the ideals. That's the Ikarim. That's really what the Ikarim are. Point
around.
Somebody asked that the Avodah Zorah is a Yisod and it's a Mitzvah. That's no kasha by Avodah Zorah, because, of course, there's a fundamental principle underlying, and then there's a Maisa, which is Aser. The question that we asked was on the Anochi and the Yichud, because over there there's nothing to add. There's no Maisa over there, so what are you adding? I just want to mention that this approach to the concept of Ikarim removes all the questions from the Sefer Ikarim of Yosef Alba. Rav Noach Weinberger made a good point there. He said that why the 13 Ikarim, if you deny any of these things, that they say not Bikaris. I mean, it's not B'chol Yisrael. If you deny every one of these ideas are in the Torah, like we mentioned. If you deny any idea in the Torah, so you're not Bikaris. Yeah, but the difference is, of course, that the Ikarim are things that you have to know that make, these are the things which make the essence of the group. The other things you don't have to know. If a person doesn't know a Pasuk in the Torah, so he's not considered not B'chol Yisrael. Ikarim means these principles are those which have to be known to him. Not just a matter of him not denying a Pasuk in the Torah. I mean, this is in other words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Achad. The reason why he's not B'chlai Yisrael is not because he denies a Pasuk in the Torah. It's because he doesn't have the principle. The principle is what makes the group, these principles. Okay. And now, let's get back to one point. The point I mentioned before was that it has to be from Sukkim. Why does it have to be from Sukkim? Now you see why it has to be from Sukkim. Because mitzvahs are from the mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Leidashi Hashem Alaka. And the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem is to gain knowledge. The ma'aseh mitzvah is to gain knowledge. But the ikur, we said, is not a mitzvah. So there is no ma'aseh mitzvah there. Since there's no ma'aseh mitzvah there, so either he accepts it or he doesn't. Now, on what basis does he accept it? So the answer is he must accept it on the basis of Sinai. That's why it's from Pesukim. And that's why there's no redundancy in the four. Because these four, even though you could prove one from the other, but it's talking about what makes the group. What makes the group is the acceptance of this concept through Sinai. That's what makes the group. You see? We're not talking about knowledge. Knowledge already, you're talking about the ma'aseh mitzvah of knowledge. You see? We're talking about the acceptance of the fact. Acceptance of the fact is based upon his understanding, his knowledge of Sinai. It's based upon Sinai. Okay. Now that's not a ma'aseh mitzvah. Okay. Now the question is like this. Since the Ikarim, those things, those principles which we derive from Sinai, which makes the essence of Klal Yisrael, the essence of Yisrael, that's what differentiates Yisrael from anybody else, with these ideas which you receive from Sinai, right? How could Sinai itself be one of the Ikarim? The Yisrael Hashmini. Because Sinai is that through which the ideas are received, but it itself cannot be one of the Ikarim. You see, moreover, Sinai can't be an Ikar. Because, you see, take for instance the first door. The Ikarim would be the same. Take the first door that saw Sinai. So what are you going to say? I mean, what's the Ikar? The Ikar is what? That Sinai occurred? I mean, what? The Ikar is to what would the Ikar be? Yeah, we mentioned for every one of the Yesodis he quotes a Pasuk. Why does he quote a Pasuk? Because the Yesod is to accept this thing from the Pasuk, which is based upon Sinai. Now, for Sinai to have a Pasuk, it's impossible. What do you mean, to accept from a Pasuk? The what?
that that the pasuk was coming from Sinai. It's circular reasoning.
What?
He has a pasuk for Yisrael Hashemini too. That's the problem. The problem is that Sinai cannot be one of the Yisraelis. The Yisraelis have to be certain concepts which I have through Sinai. Sinai is the medium through which I have these concepts. So there's three things. There's Sinai, there's Ikarim, and there's Mitzvahs. Sinai is the experience. That's the way it has to be. Okay. Now the problem is, however, the Rambam counts it in Yisrael Hashemini. Okay. So let's take a look a little more carefully at Yisrael Hashemini. The Yisrael Hashemini, you take a look, go through, he brings down the story, incident of Kerach. Brings down the incident of Kerach. Now, and he quotes, what's the pasuk that Teres me Sinai? He says, V'yevim Moshe, b'zeis teitin k'yashem shlochani, lasis kalamayis me'eli, k'lei me'libi. I mean, he really should have quoted the pasuk, not that pasuk, he should have quoted the pasuk of b'tzeischem, tavdun asol kimba, or, well, no, the pasuk says, That's the pasuk that proves that that Teres mi Sinai, because it all they heard the dibreis, they heard mipi agvura. But how did they know that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said is mipi agvura? Because part of the manifestation of Sinai was a special relationship between God and Moshe, so they knew God entrusted Moshe. Therefore, it doesn't make sense that God should entrust Moshe with something that he's going to fabricate. So therefore, you know that Moshe, whatever Moshe says, is true. That's what the meaning of the pasuk is. So, plain pshat. So why didn't the Rambam quote that pasuk? Why does he quote the pasuk from Kerach? Now let's go into Kerach a little bit. Kerach itself is a problem. Because really, we know Kerach denied that Moshe Rabbeinu was receiving everything from Piagura. That was Haltaina with Shevet Levi. With Moshe and Aaron. So, what? Yeah. So that was his taina, really. His taina was that Moshe Rabbeinu decided these things, made these things up by himself, and he's taking cover for himself. Yeah, moreover, the famous Chazal that he came in and he left with a bias molis form. What does it mean to mezuzah? And trelis and tzitzis. What is it? Who gives the beggars for trelis? What do you need trelis and tzitzis for? Hey, you know, what kind of a question is this? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is Mipi Agvura. So apparently, Kerach denied the fact of Sinai. Now, if once Kerach denies Sinai, so what did God do? So God made an event occur, cataclysmic event, which demonstrated that he was wrong. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Bezeis teidun ki ad Hashem shlochani la'aseis kol ha'maisim eilu ki lemi libi." That these things are mipi agvura. Question here is a very big question. Question is, in Sinai, we know that no osamofes can prove anything. That's what the Rambam says. That's why you had to have Sinai when they heard the Kol Hashem. Only the Kol Hashem proved something. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu remove the doubt that Kerach had about Sinai with a Mofes? Oh, we explain like this. Really, Kerach, you see, Kerach couldn't deny Sinai. Impossible for Kerach to deny Sinai. Nobody would listen to him. And Kerach himself didn't deny Sinai. But Kerach presented a new possible interpretation of Sinai. That was his thing. See, of course he was motivated personally, but the argument he wasn't speaking to stupid people. The argument that he presented was a logical argument which gave a reinterpretation of the events of Sinai. Let's take a look at what his reinterpretation was. Okay. Okay, once again. So, Kerach had to present an argument to the people. Even though he was personally motivated, he had to present an argument to the people. Now, the argument he presented had to be logical. And actually, that's what he did. He presented a new slant on the events of Sinai. And this new slant, of course, would be in conformity with his own motives, but that's a separate thing. But the argument itself had to stand for itself, otherwise nobody would gather around him and support him. Okay? What was the argument he presented? Alright, so it's all like this. Kerach said like this. Kerach said there is no doubt that God gave the Torah at Sinai and he entrusted Moshe. But let's understand the purpose of God. What's God's purpose? God's purpose is that there should be a perfected race that has certain concepts. That's the purpose, right? That's what. Now, therefore, God doesn't really care about every picayune little thing. That's not his concern. You see? His concern is that these ideas should exist. But every little point that it should be, things should be, every little word, does God really care about every word in the Torah, that every word in specific? What difference does it make to God? There's no reason to, he doesn't care about that. So what I'm saying is, Karach said, what I'm saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu said certain things on his own. Ah, you'll tell me, how could he say certain things on his own? God entrusted him. Yeah, the bulk of the material he gave. No question about it. But I still say that there are certain things he's still saying on his own. He's saying it in God's name. And God doesn't really care, because as long as the main bulk of the material we have is good. He says, and then he proceeded to attack the tzitzis and mezuzah. See, his argument was like this. His argument was, since God only cares about the main ideas, so God only cares about the philosophy of things. So therefore, the details, the halachic details, aren't an end in themselves. There's no purpose for every little detail. The only thing is, there are certain details in halacha because they convey certain principles. He understood there's halacha, but every halacha has to have a direct philosophical principle. You see? But details, just for the sake of details, God doesn't care about. See? That was his argument. That was the argument of bias molly's farm doesn't need this. God doesn't care. His bias molly's farm and the philosophical purpose is fulfilled already, then it's ridiculous to put him as a czar. You don't need it. God doesn't care about that. It's picky on. Yeah, certain amount is necessary for system. But he said certain amount is necessary for system. No question about it. But I maintain that we have enough this way. These additional things that Moshe Rabbeinu, let's sit down and figure out what the essence of Sinai is. We'll work it out, and then that's it. I mean, we don't have to listen to everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said isn't specifically the Pia Gvura. That was his contention. All God wants a system of mitzvahs. All God wants is a system of mitzvahs which will ensure the existence of certain ideas. What's the title if I say bias, moral, strong, platform, and mitzvahs? Are we going to lose any ideas? No. So what's wrong with that? You see? His argument was that every point that Moshe Rabbeinu made was not mipi agvura. God entrusted him with the bulk of the material, because God definitely was a Sinai, so you see it's God's will, and definitely entrusted Moshe, but what he entrusted him was the basic philosophical ideas should continue to exist, and that's it. But I don't believe Moshe when he tells me at every little point that this is this and there's that. I don't believe him. The argument that how could God allow Moshe to wear these little things, you see, that is not such a strong argument. Because God was only interested in one thing. God does not reveal himself every second. God is just interested in the main things. The rest expects you to use your mind. I mean, you want to be a fool? There's plenty of people how many people today they have no concept at all of Torah's Moshe? They keep Torah's Mitzvahs, they have no basic, they don't even know they come, right? So what? God's not going to fly down and do a miracle? I mean, that's it. I mean, he gave the basic, and you have to use your mind. Now you have to use your mind. The basic Torah was given, you have to use your mind. Now, the Yisayid Hashemini in the Rambam is not the Yisayid of Sinai. It's the Yisayid that every detail in the Torah is Mipi Agvura. Take a look. Ki kol ha-Torah ha-Zayis ha-Nesuna de-Moshe Rabbeinu al-Lashon she-Kula Mipi Agvura. Klei ma-Shigil of Kula me-Eis Hashem Yisbarach. Alright? Now, Ve'ein hefresh beinu b'nechom kushu Mitzrayim v'shem yishtei me-Tavel v'sin no-Eis ha-Pilegesh u'bein ha-Nechir Hashem al-Kecha. See? Every little detail. Karech wouldn't agree. Karech would say that God didn't really care. Does God care about Simna HaYusuf HaLegash? Who cares about that? I mean, God cares about the basic ideas of philosophical system, dialogues of Plato. See? Ah. Yeah, in the Kapach edition, there's an additional word there. It belongs here. Leinasa Menasha Etzlam Kaifer. Ela Lefi Shechashav Sheesh B'Tara Leva Klipa. See? No, I'm getting into that. That's what it is. Yeah, because Menashe was a kefir, because that's what he said. He said there's the essence of the Torah, and then there's the shell, and there's the additional things that they wrote in there, not so important. The little events, the stories that Moshe Rabbeinu made up. They might even be correct. They might not necessarily be that Moshe Rabbeinu made it up, but it wasn't the Pia Gvura. Moshe Rabbeinu himself decided to put these things in, made a nice book out of it. And now the question is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu prove that this philosophy is wrong? It's a good argument. It's a good argument. Everything's a Pia Gvura, but the basic ideas, it's all philosophical ideas. So God wants us to ensure the philosophical ideas through mitzvahs. But how did Moshe Rabbeinu disprove them? There's only one way to disprove them. How? Since you say, Kairach, you say this is a very simple idea, and anybody with rationality will come to this conclusion, God doesn't have to make a demonstration about it. But you certainly would agree that if God would make a demonstration contrary, and he would endorse me, that certainly he wouldn't allow it to happen. Because that's a total... That's a total misleading of people. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "In kemois kol adam yimusin ela, then lo Hashem shlachani. Then b'riya bar alakim, is a v'yedatem b'zayis teidun ki Hashem shlachani lasayis kol amaisam ela ki loy milibi." And just like this one incident of who was supposed to be appointed is a kohen gadol who was supposed to be appointed, I'm saying it's m'piyag vura. Everything else that I say is m'piyag vura. And the Vatibok HaOretz demonstrated that this was so. See, and even, correct. Yeah. The reason why an ice and a my face is no raya, because we could say that my Moshe Rabbeinu knew the ice and my face. The Rambam says that people have premonitions, so they know also. But once you agree of a basis of Torah Sinai, then God would never allow this to occur. See, that's the proof. Yes, well, wonder what. This is not to be equated with Navi Sheker. Navi Sheker is where he makes an oif to my face against Tarmi Sinai. That's impossible, because Tarmi Sinai we have a Nain Ura. That's a direct verification. Can't be against. It's impossible. You can't accept. You simply can't accept the ice on my face. Over here, he's operating with the framework of Tarmi Sinai. Yes. You see, the possible of Gamma Chayamin Lailam, really, if there was no event of Kerach, let's say there was no event of Kerach, so then what would happen? The answer is, of course, Kerach was emotionally involved in his situation. That's why he came up with this argument. This wasn't an argument that was brought about through pure rational reasoning. A person say Hala Yashir never would accept what Kerach said. They all had motivations that were involved in there. It wasn't stopped. Otherwise, why would they deserve an Einash? So apparently the Gamma Chayamin Lelem was really enough for the details as well. I'm not sure about it for the details as well. There was still a mukkim for a baldin, a person who's emotionally moved the other direction, to set up an argument, a counter argument that God demonstrated cannot be. Yeah, you had to make a demonstration. If Kerach was a reasonable chakira, then God would have had to incorporate it in Sinai. Apparently it's not a reasonable chakira, but because it doesn't make sense really to assume that God's going to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to leave the claw in the wrong way, you see. But the only thing is that a person can build an argument and say, no, on the contrary, God expects you to see through this. He expects you to understand that the main thing is he wants to give a main body of law, and he gave it through Moshe Rabbeinu. And the rest he expects you to figure out on your own. Don't believe in people. On the contrary, it's part of Yadus. Okay. Now, therefore, you have to say like this. Therefore, the Rambam's like this. That's the Yisod HaShemini. Yisod HaShemini is not Torah Min HaShemayim. The Yisod HaShemini is that the details of Torah is Min HaShemayim. Every little detail is Min HaShemayim. The fact that the original Sinai, that's not part of the Yesodus. That's just if the Rambam wanted to prove Sinai, he would have said, but he doesn't quote that Pasuk. He quotes the Pasuk, B'zeis teidun ki Hashem shlachani. So our question was, it's contradictory. How could you have a Pasuk to prove the Pasuk itself? Right? It's impossible. Where's the proof of the Pasuk? Of course, you can't have a Pasuk to prove the Pasuk. The event of Sinai is the prerequisite. That's the experience. That's the universal experience, which is machayev in 13 concepts. You see? Now, the question is like this. Now, why does the Ram bring in v'simna ha'isa pelegesh, is chachma. Every word, v'simna ha'isa pelegesh, he brings in. Every one of these words, he says, is a... It says, "Kol dibur v'dibur manatari yesh bem chachmai suployim l'mishem mevin ha'isam v'loi husak tachlis chachmasam arucham eretz mida rechavim aliyam." You see? So, v'ein l'ish ela l'haleich be'ikvais David Mashiach l'kei Yisrael shespal galei nev habita n'flois mitar esecha. You see? Around the same, because once you say that every detail is m'pi agvura, it has to be with the chachmas agvura, which means that there's endless chachma in every single word. The chachma of God is infinite, which means man could never complete the knowledge of the Torah in any respect. And every single word in the Torah is there with tremendous chachma, an endless source of chachma which is unfathomable to the human mind. Okay. So it comes to, you have three things: you have Sinai, you have Ikarim, and you have Mitzvahs. Okay. But now we'll take a look. We'll understand why there are four. Well, we explained already before, just to review, why there are four Ikarim and there are only two mitzvahs under these. Because there are four Ikarim, because by an Iker we say the concept is not known out of knowledge. That's the mitzvah to know it, to gain the knowledge. But the Iker is just to know the fact. That's an Apsukim. Now these four can only become two. One is knowledge of God as a necessary existence. That's an echad Hashem alakecha. And the other thing is that that necessary existence is a uniform. Okay? Yeah. That's it. But you can't have, you cannot have a mitzvah that this necessary existence is not physical. Because that's included in one. That's part of the same knowledge. Part of one ma'aselimut. It's impossible to separate. If you attain one knowledge, you attain the other. So it can't be a separate mitzvah. Okay? Now, so therefore those three become two. What about the last one? Why isn't the last one a mitzvah? To know that God is a kadmai. Why isn't that a mitzvah? Yeah, we're breaking up when I say the last of the four, because basically what are the ikarim? The ikarim are to know certain principles. It breaks down to two things. With two groups, with relationship to God and how God relates to man. How God relates to man. Two things. The first four is God himself. You see? Necessary existence, Yichud Hashem, Ein Guf, and Kadmayim. Then comes... Now, the next, so there's two groups. The second group, Chamishi, Shishi, Shvi, Shmini, Tishi, Asiri, Acharasa, all those are how God relates to man. How God relates to man and man relates to God. Same thing. The relationship between man and God. Those are the ones. Those ideas, those concepts are the essence of the Klal. The essence of the Klal. Why Mashiach is one of them, we explain somewhere else. We're not going to go into that. And Tchias Mason. What? Right, now why wasn't Kadmayim a mitzvah? The answer is because there is no way to prove the Rambam says Nemar Nevochon. There is no logical way to prove Kadmayim. The only way we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadmayim. Those ideas, those concepts, are the essence of the Klal. The essence of the Klal. Why Mashiach is one of them, we explain somewhere else. We're not going to go into that. And Tchias Mason. What? Right, now why wasn't Kadmayim a mitzvah? The answer is because there is no way to prove the Rambam says Nemar Nevochon. There is no logical way to prove Kadmayim. The only way we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadmayim is through Nisan, which is through experience. But there cannot be a mitzvah Lei Dasha Hashem Kadmayim. The Rambam says Nemar Nevochon is impossible to know. There's no way to prove it. And this the Rambam, the whole purpose of the Mara was to show that the proof of God is not contingent upon whether he's a Kadmayim or not. You see? Exactly, right. The mitzvah lay, that's always through knowledge. Knowledge can't be from an event, that has to be from logical proof. Yeah. Metaphysical, it has to be metaphysical proof, yeah. Okay. Here's one question that I don't know the answer for. Yeah. Question is like this. What is the pasuk that it's a mitzvah, lay da shayashem alakai. What's the mitzvah? Anechad shayashem alakai, alright. What is the ikr that's expressed by the Torah? That shayashem alakai, anechad shayashem alakai. Which is the pasuk that tells you that it's a mitzvah? Yichud Hashem is a mitzvah. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right? The idea stuff is a mitzvah. Say Shnei Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Which is the pasuk that tells you this fact? And Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Same pasuk the Rambam quotes in the Ikarim, right? How could you have the same pasuk to tell you an ikar and a mitzvah? That's a question. That's a puzzling question. All right, we'll leave with that question. It's two different frameworks. One is a ma'isa mitzvah of knowledge, and the other one is a fact. I mean, it's difficult to. The other psukim, for instance, the Rambam brings ain't a guf. So what does it bring? He brings a psukim that ain't a guf. He quotes psukim. Now, like Hashem is your mimav, alarts mitachas, v'yef shel guf liyav shnei mekemes. Right? Yeah, that's okay. That's I understand. That's a nicker. But where do you see the mitzvah? I mean, how could one pasuk be the same pasuk be a mitzvah and a nicker? Kilarisim kol tamuna. Kilarisim Ram quotes pasuk. Kilarisim kol tamuna. Yeah. Umayra love. I said a few days ago. Umayra love. Mashenemar kilarisim kol tamuna. Okay. So why don't I say that's a? So apparently that's just a fact. So Hashem l'kenah Hashem achad is fact. Where does he get the mitzvah? That's the problem. And that the same pasuk could be both. That doesn't seem logical. Yadon gave a good possibility here. He says, that the pasuk is really a mitzvah. But if it's a mitzvah, so then it's implicit in the pasuk is that it's so. It's a nicker. Okay.
Something to think about. Something to think about.
This ends the shiur on the Yagimel Ikarim, and now we're starting a separate shiur on Baruch Shem Kavod Machusel Ilam Va'ed.
The term Baruch Shem Kavod Machusel Ilam Va'ed. I want to know what the term Shem Kavod Machusel means. Alright. In order to understand that, you have to understand one thing. You have to understand what the problem is, the problem that we have in understanding God. You see? More in specific, if you say that God is a being. Now, when you say that God is a being, you don't mean he's a being like a piece of wood or a stone or a star, right? See, because these things, we perceive these things are lifeless, correct? So we say that God has life. Chai Olamim, right? Now, the problem is the term life. Really, if you think into it, the term life, as we perceive it, with regard to human beings, our definition of life, would hardly be applicable over here. Do you know what I mean? So what does it mean, really, when we say that God lives? You see, so of course the Rambam says in the Maira that it means that it's not something superadded. We have something superadded, life. Concepts, you have two concepts, man plus life. So two concepts. In relation to God, it means his very essence partakes of low life. But the term life doesn't ever apply. I mean, if you think about it, you cannot apply the term life. There's no way that you can possibly apply the term life to God. But in short, what it means is like this. That the... conceptually, it doesn't make any sense. You say, what do you mean he has life? He moves? What characteristics does he have? What? He thinks. Yeah, but the... What do you mean he thinks? I mean,
working out ideas
that doesn't matter. Right. I mean, in what way does it mean... In what way is it different than... What? Even the term he is a bad term, because he implies a certain type of being. I mean, that has a... That... Yeah, I mean, anything. It implies a certain being that's together in one place. That's, you see, these kinds of the ideas become impossible for us to conceive.
It's really the more you want to know, the less you really
care. Yeah, when you really think about it, the terms that we have really are inapplicable. That's what Shem Kavod Machusel means. You see, Shem Kavod Machusel means, the shame means the essence. Which means like this. The essence, Kavod Malchuso, is the only thing we know about God. It's only Kavod Malchuso. You see?
That's an expression.
That's right. Results. So that essence which describes Kavod Malchuso, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, Lol and Void, you see? What it means to say is that there is no way that that's the highest, that's the closest I can get. I cannot approach God any closer in terms of blessing him, you know, saying something about him. See, closest I can get is Shem Kavod Malchuso, the essence of his the result of the Kavod Malchuso. See, and that is the closest I can get to reaching him. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso. Really, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso alone is an admission of the impossibility of us ever having any real concept of God. You understand what I mean? That's what it is. Like when we say Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo, so Shemo over here doesn't mean the essence of God, a term that connotes the essence of God. There's no such term. Shemo means one of those terms that we use, like Hayu Hayu V'yiya, right, you see, in place of shame. It means what? Yeah, well, that's that. On the contrary, that's why I say Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo. That we Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo me implies that we can't know who. The who we don't know. It's Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo. If we just say Baruch Hu, then it would imply that we really can know what who is. But Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo, it means that the term that we use to connote his essence, but not his real essence. We really have no real term for his essence. You see? And that's why, you see, it says in the Migdash, they used to do like this. It says the Kohen Gadol used to say, the shame of Ayin Dalet Aisias, shame of Ayah,
Ah, question was, is that shema you give up to? All right, what the shame in the Migdash was, right? But anyways, so the Rambam says in the Mirah that this shame that the Kohen Gadol used was closer than the ordinary shemus that we have. Ka means powerful, you know what I mean? Shaddai, there's different. Each one has different implications with regard to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You see, but the shame of the shame of Mefarash had a deeper meaning. Was closer. Was even closer. Even a deeper, more abstract conceptual meaning. See, what? That's for sure. Kilei Randon Lachai. Oh, was closer. But what did they say? But what was the lacha? The lacha was that they were aina. Everybody that heard the shame. Kasha Shomos Hashem Yitzchak Mefarash Yitzchak Pigan Gadol. Why do they say Baruch Shem Kvam Ochus Olam Avod? Because that's the closest that they could get. You see? The closest that they could get. That's right. Go ahead. The Rams and the Mara, the shame of Ayin Dalet Osius was a phrase. It wasn't even a name. It was a phrase. Because you have 74 letters. Ayin Beis, I think 72 letters. 72 letters, Tetragrammaton. So that shame was, how is it possible to have shame, one word of so many letters? So Ram says it was a phrase. The phrase connoted to those who had the more abstract capabilities a closer reference to God. You say something closer than we have. The arm has to recognize on their level. You see, in their levels, Baruch Hashem comes from above. That's their level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. Kadosh means he that is Kadosh, different. Baruch Hu. You see? So, you see that idea in Yadis is a central idea, the most important idea about the knowledge about God. You see how everything, all these different sources show that one concept.
You'll see that, I mean.
When you say Baruch Hu of Ruch Shemo, the idea is like this: Baruch Hu, blessed is He, and Baruch Shemo. Why do you add Baruch Shemo? Because you say, when it shows you that He is one thing, and Shemo is the way we understand the name, the term which is used to give the concept. So He, that source, which we do not understand, is Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, but we have to be Mavarech to His name, which means conceptually we're the way as close as we can get in understanding Him. You know what I mean? Why say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo? Say Baruch Hu. The answer is, if you said Baruch Hu alone, that would be a mistake, because then you'd be saying that you really can understand Him. You have a concept of Him. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo means we only know Shemo, so we have to give Baruch Hu a Shemo. You see? That's right, through Baruch Shemo. So that shows you that the Baruch Hu is an unknown. The Baruch Shemo reflects on the Baruch Hu. Okay? Because Baruch Hu is the ultimate being, the ultimate. We know there's an ultimate there. We don't know what it is. So in terms of giving bracha in Shevach, you have to refer to something. So it's Shemo, you know. But you can't just have Shemo without a being there. You understand what I mean? So Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo.
And Baruch Shem Kol Malchuso.
Really, there's only two ways. You see, the negative God, in so far as negative knowledge, Ram says negative knowledge is concerned. Of course, the Shema Mefarish connoted some type of negative knowledge. But you can't have negative knowledge in different levels. There's only the first step in negative knowledge is removed from the physical. You can't say God is not a tree. That's already negative knowledge. You see? So negative knowledge has to be removed from the physical. That's in the abstract already. So there's only two ways. Either in the abstract, through negative knowledge, or else through Kvod Malchuso, means through his actions, through results that we see from him. You see? Things that emanate from him. So the Hamon can only be Mishbech Kadosh Baruch Hu through things that emanate from him. The thing is, Shema Yisrael Hashem, like, why you have Baruch Shem Kadosh over there is like this. Because Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is an enunciation. It's Kriyas Parsha. You have to read this Parsha, the Pasuk or the Rambam. The Pasuk enunciates a certain fact. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You see? But Kabbalah So Malcha Shemayim demands more than just the enunciation and the acceptance of a certain fact. But it demands that the person must be Mevarach Hashem. That's what it demands. There's no Kabbalah Shema El Malch Shema unless he's a Mevarach also. So he has to say Baruch Shem Kvam Ochus Olam Avod.
And the Baruch is only through Kvay Mochusov, because that's the only way he could be a Mavarach. What really prompts a person to be a Mavarach? It's the Kvay Mochusov. So, in Kabbalah Samach Shemayim will be incomplete. That's right, Kabbalah Samach Shemayim will be incomplete unless he himself personally is a Mavarach. That's why he has to be interjected there. What? No, Moshe didn't say, because it's not part of the parsha. It's not the. Baruch Shem Kochuz Elohim Vat has nothing to do with Shema, has to do with Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. Separate law. That one time said it before. Apparently, there's no Kabbalah Samach Shemayim on the part of the Gavra unless he has that response. Baruch Shem Kochuz Elohim Vat. If he doesn't have that response, then there's no Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. That's it. Because the recognition naturally has to result in that response, otherwise it's not recognition. It means it's not just enough he recognizes mentally. It has to affect his whole, pervade his whole being, which means it's causes the person to respond emotionally this way. Just like Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem. Avas Hashem is an emotion. But the emotion results from a certain knowledge. A certain knowledge which pervades the individual, that causes a certain response, a certain reaction.
Gosh should really be
the Olam Vod shows you one thing. The Olam Vod shows you that you cannot conceive. If you can, you cannot possibly conceive of Kvod Malchusel unless you have the idea of eternity. Unless you have the idea of eternity. The reason is because Kvod Malchusel has to reflect on an eternal existence. The whole Kvod Malchusel only emerges when you perceive an eternal existence. If you do not perceive an eternal existence, no Kvod Malchusel. Kvod Malchusel for one day is impossible. Can't be such a thing. I don't care how great. If the performance is done, no matter how great the performance is done, if it's limited by time, then inherently the performance, the time limitation inherently is a breakdown in the greatness of the performance. So Kvod Malchusel, there cannot be any Kvod Malchusel unless there's L'Olam Vod. Eternity is an inherent part of the greatness. It wouldn't be any Kvod Malchusel, right? Wouldn't be any Kvod Malchusel. Now, everything which is temporal, no matter how great, the fact that it's temporal does not signify any greatness. When we speak greatness of God, it has to be greatness in eternal terms. That's what it has to be. You see? What we need now is an appropriate definition of Baruch. That's what we need. Baruch comes from Baruch. Okay. The thing is like this. Baruch means it is such that it evokes a response in man, you see, of ultimate recognition. That's what Baruch means. Okay? It's something. That's why Baruch is very good, that the Baruch is derivative from Baruch. Because what it means is that God is such, that his nature is such that it causes Baruch. It causes Baruch. Okay? So you can call it Baruch. Now, here it is. As a matter of fact, you see when they said, it says, Neflam apaneim v'aymrim baruch shem v'machus l'avod. By v'akayim l'agam. So what it means is like this, if that's the case. So what it means, baruch shem v'machus l'avod, means that kivod malchuso is such that it will eternally evoke this response of Baruch. You follow? You see? Which is a reflection on the Kvod Malchuso. Yeah, why you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Avod? That's when you make a bracha levatala. You see?
Okay.
So a bracha levatala is a bracha without a mate. Yeah, it's true, halachically. But it means like this. It means it's an empty shevach. Yeah. So a Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Avod means that the Kvod Malchuso is always deserving of Baruch. So therefore, my bracha, which was an empty bracha, should really relate to the Kvod Malchuso, which is always existence. Because I related my bracha to a particular thing, which in fact was wrong. You see? It should be related. Kvod Malchuso always demands bracha. So you relate the bracha to the Kvod Malchuso, which is eternal and found at all times. Hey, the reason why Yom Kippur is like this, that by there's a difference between the Malachim's Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Avod and the people's. See, a Malach doesn't have any Kriyas of Parsha. Malach doesn't have to read Shema Yisrael, noted in the Kabbal or Malach Shemayim. Because a Malach spontaneously has Kabbalah from Malach Shemayim. You know what I mean? Spontaneous phenomena. But man is not on that level. See, man is on a level where he requires a Torah mitzvahs.
as a means. You see, requires kriyas parsha as a means to reach al malchus shemayim. The response is not a spontaneous one. See, it's one which is brought about through a means of mitzvahs. So that's why that's why by Yom Kippur at nighttime, why they say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Lo Voed, to be my like malachim. What it means is that it is as if you say the Baruch Shem louder, as because really for us the essence is the kriyas parsha. The Baruch Shem doesn't happen all the time. Once in a while, it's Baruch Shem. You know what I mean? In a person's life, the essence is the kriyas parsha, which is called Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. But the for a malach, the malach's essence is just the opposite. The malach's essence is Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Lo Voed. It's spontaneous recognition. You see? So Yom Kippur at night, the halach is the lidama islam malachim. He brings down over there. So it's an emphasis of the Baruch Shem, that the spontaneous response, you see, it's an emphasis on the response itself, that the response is spontaneous like a malach, not that it represents the essence in our lives really creates a parshas and a seis mitzvahs, and Baruch Shem is once in a while, but by the malachim it's the opposite. So on Yom Kippur night it's supposed to be like a malach, so he emphasized the Baruch Shem. I just want to add one thing about the Baruch Shem for Malchus Lo Voed, that it's interesting to look at the ingenuity of the formulation. Because the formula, you see, when he says Baruch, let's just translate what it means. Baruch, it means that it should be recognized as that which people respect and prostrate themselves before. Shame means the term which represents a concept of Kvod Malchusal, which is the honor of his kingdom, which is represented by the universe, right? And then you say Lo'olam Voed, that this situation should remain eternally. Now you see, it wouldn't be enough to say that Kvod Malchuso that Kvod Malchuso is Lo'olam Voed. See, that wouldn't be enough, because then you wouldn't be including the person, you wouldn't be including the gavra in the statement. You understand what I mean? It has to be Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Lo'olam Voed. That it's not enough to say Kvod Malchuso is Lo'olam Voed. You see, but you have to say Kvod Malchuso is Kvod Malchuso should be such that it eternally evokes the praise. Why? Because if you don't include the mevorech in the statement, then it lacks in Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. See, the Kabbalah Samach Shemayim must be that Le'olam Vod relates not only to the phenomena of Kvod Malchuso, but it must also relate to the bracha, to the mevorech, that people should recognize it. If Le'olam Vod only relates to the phenomena of Kvod Malchuso, then it lacks in the Kabbalah Samach Shemayim. It has to relate to the gavra also. It has to include the gavra. So you see how ingeniously the statement is put together. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Voed. It's not that Kvod Malchuso is Le'olam Voed, but Shem Kvod Malchuso, so it includes not just Kvod Malchuso, but also that Kvod Malchuso will eternally evoke this response. You see? You understand what I mean?
No.
I was saying is the term which connotes Kvod Malchuso should eternally evoke a certain response. So it includes not just the phenomena, but those who respond to the phenomena. You see? And that's because it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim has to include the person also, the response of the person as well as the phenomena which evokes the response. You understand what I mean? That's the way it's formulated. It's unbelievable. The reason why we say shame and not just Baruch Kvod Malchuso Lo'olam Voed is because every shame Hashem, you see, is only the term shame. Means when you say shame, it refers to shame Hashem. The shemos shel Hashem are only in reference to his actions. So Kvod Malchuso is a shame. Kvod Malchuso is a shame. It shows you the concept of shame, of shame Hashem, is limited. It's always limited to something which is an expression of God, but not God himself. You see, that's why it says Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Alon Void. The reason why it says Shem is because those are the Shemos Shel Hashem. All the Shemos Shel Hashem are a reflection, are a representation of a manifestation of God, but not of God Himself. So this is a Shem Hashem Kavod Malchuso. You understand? That's what Shem Kavod Malchuso means. The Shem, that term which the Shem Hashem is Kavod, is that term which connotes Kavod Malchuso. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso. Well, no, boy, that's the shame. That's the shame. All shame is Shel Hashem that way. And this is precisely what we meant in the beginning of the tape. Also, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusa. Not that shame represents the essence. You see? Shame doesn't represent the essence. There is no shame that we have that represents the essence of Hashem. Even the shame of Ayin Beis, you see, does not represent the essence. It's just a more abstract concept. But if the term essence was used, the term essence was used in the beginning, that shame means essence. Essence insofar as it's a concept, not the essence of God. Shame connotes the essence of something, but not God. The essence of Kol Malchus, the essence of it's a term. Every time you have a shame, it means the essence of something, but not His essence. Of course, it also conveys the idea that there is another essence behind the term. The term shame indicates also that there is an existence behind the concept utilized in the term itself. Okay.